Welcome to Realcast. I'm joined by Nicole Dines, Judy Seabus, and James Wallace for our sort of regular roundup of the week. And for a special topic this week, we're going to be looking at Germany. But let's start off with the roundup of the week. Nicole, what sort of stories have caught your eye this week?
There was a very interesting global survey that was done by Savills that showed some optimism returning, especially to countries that have dealt first with the pandemic, notably China, Vietnam and South Korea, where the survey that they do every month has gone from negative to slightly positive. And also highlighting the fact that in Europe, which is obviously behind Asia, it's not there yet, but there's some return of activity in the market, domestic players mainly looking for opportunities in the markets they know well, and opportunistic players that are looking for bargains. But according to Matt Oakley of Savills, they've been disappointed on the whole because valuations are holding up rather well in Europe. So the opportunistic players are not finding the sort of discounts they were hoping to find.
Okay, interesting. James, what about you?
Well, I've got two picks, but the first one is the UK Property Lending Survey by CAS. Now, that's normally a kind of a rear-view mirror, sort of backwards review of the year. But this year, given the context, they have actually given a little bit of a kind of a forward look. And some of their analysis is quite interesting. So they've suggested that as much as £8 to £10 billion worth of loans in the retail sector could face write-offs and losses is an indicator of the kind of the leading sector that's going to experience the most pain in 2020. In addition, they've said that there's £22 billion worth of development loans that are going to be affected by construction delays, defaults on underlying construction contracts, and even including around £14 billion in resi development loans, which due to potential lower unit sales and lower unit sale prices, could result in partial loan write-offs. So while on the one hand, the Bank of England in the UK has kind of eased the capital treatments for loans to allow lenders to hold less in reserve against this lending, notwithstanding that, many of these loans will need to be reflected in banks' balance sheets and they will be linked to companies that might not survive. CAS says by the end of this year and into next year, they expect increased defaults and loan write-offs is ultimately going to push up capital costs and reduce liquidity.
Interesting. I mean, we looked at logistics last week as a defensive kind of area, and there's also a sense in which residential is another defensive area. Judy, have you been seeing anything through on the residential markets?
Bouwinvest, one of the biggest Dutch institutional investor in residential, announced its results this week, and they posted a total investment return of 11%, a double-digit figure for the fifth year in a row, and almost half of their portfolio is residential, total portfolio of 13 billion, and residential accounts for about 6.5%. Obviously, the pandemic is going to affect all industries, including residential, and the outlook for residential the coming year is not as rosy as it has been in the past by no means. But they're still expecting a relatively limited impact compared to the other sectors.
And James, just in terms of any other particular themes for the week?
Yeah, if I could pivot back to the UK, if that's okay. The government introduced new emergency measures to protect the high street retailers. Effectively, they've introduced like a moratorium on statutory demands and winding up petitions to protect high street retailers from aggressive debt recovery protection recovery operations during the pandemic. This is actually something that, you know, we touched on in our recent special report, and it's actually a bit more complicated than it first appears. It's likely to stop planned legal action against certain retailers that was in train. Actually, it was the Estates Gazette and others have reported that landlords, including London Metric, were looking at taking legal action against what they consider to be well-capitalized retailers who have enough cash reserves to be able to pay their rent, but are using the protections of legislation to choose not to. The retail bodies, such as the British Retail Consortium, that, alongside the BPF, that wrote a letter to the Chancellor suggesting that unless more is done to protect retailers, we could see many viable companies filing for administration, and its survival is now being measured in weeks rather than years.
On a positive kind of front, I saw that Segro had launched early a 10 million centenary fund supporting communities and healthcare projects in terms of the current health crisis. But also, interestingly, beginning to see more of a focus coming in. I noticed James Rayner posting from Grosvenor on LinkedIn about that the industry needs to bounce forward from coronavirus, not back, and really take this as an opportunity to look at ESG, sustainability, climate emergency.
Yeah, I think we might see a divide, emerging or even accelerating between those companies that have already adopted ESG strategies and are well on their way to greening their portfolios. So I'm seeing that with Catella, for example. They've embarked on a 2 billion euro development partnership with a French company to develop 100 energy positive towers across Europe. And there are no signs that they're going to delay that.
And it's been interesting as well, just to see, Nicola, I've been seeing some kind of activity beginning to return in Italy.
There are some signs now that the activity is beginning to return to the market. There have been deals in student housing, unnamed British student housing developers buying in Milan, and that's gone ahead. Obviously, there were things that have been agreed before the pandemic hit, but it's a good sign that they're still being signed, so people are still signing on the dotted line. And another interesting development in Italy has been healthcare deals in Rome, which is obviously not the first port of call for international investors. So it's been Italian investors, but investing in the in one of the sectors that, as we know, is seen as a big, one of the strong ones in this pandemic, the healthcare sector.
I just wanted to pick up a little bit in terms of the sort of special focus for today, which is on Germany.
Well, picking up on the residential theme we were talking about, Germany's listed residential sector is the biggest in Europe, and the biggest player in that market is Vonovia. We saw a report by Bloomberg that Vonovia is considering a takeover of Deutsche Wohnen. Vonovia has said that their first priority for the moment is riding out the coronavirus pandemic, but Bloomberg sources say that this is definitely something they're looking at.
Okay, interesting. And Nicole, what were the things that you picked up from the German briefing?
Well, Germany started the year on a high, on a particular high. It was the strongest quarter, the first quarter ever in history. 27 billion euros of transactions, which made a sort of 100 billion figure for the year look easy to get to. Obviously, circumstances have changed, and the current situation is much more difficult. But there seemed to be a lot of optimism that once the worst of the pandemic is over, things will return to normal. And there was a flash poll that was done during investment briefing among delegates, and it came out rather strongly that 53% said that they expect Germany to retain its safe haven status after the crisis. 37% actually said that they expect it to have an even stronger role as the safe haven of Europe, and only 10% thought that it might lose or lessen its safe haven status. And also the speakers at the experts at the briefing seem to be quite unanimous in that it obviously will take a while, it's going to be a difficult few months ahead, but that the fundamentals are strong and that Germany has a very strong healthcare system, has shown in the last few weeks that it's reacted very well to the pandemic. It's likely to have lower unemployment than other European countries, and it's got very strong fiscal firepower so that it will invest where it needs to invest to get the economy back into shape. So caution on the short term, but definitely optimism over the longer term.
I thought it was really interesting, the poll, Nicole. I mean, I thought that was really enlightening in terms of the perspective of the German speakers on their own market. Lots of focus as well in terms of residential and also the financing markets, just in terms of what they were looking to finance and what they were not looking to finance. And obviously residential coming out very strongly in that as well. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Thanks, James, Nicole, Judy. We'll be back again next week for our usual roundup of the key themes of the week, as well as looking at specifically the student housing market, as well as innovation districts and winning cities. Look forward to seeing you then. Thank you.